The eighth parak deals primarily with the registration process of people partnering together on a Korban Pesach, making a chabura, a group together. This applies both to men and to women. Women are also obligated in the Korban Pesach, even though it's a mitzvah, ashei shazman grama. So we will be discussing the requirement to be only participating in one Korban Pesach, not two. And that's going to add to some complications in our Mishnah, because we're going to talk about if somebody else, for example, B, registers A on a Korban Pesach, and also C registers A as well. So we have B and C registering A, but on different Korban Pesachs. What happens then? Because our default is neither were explicitly appointed. So there are times, even though somebody was not explicitly appointed to register somebody else, that registration will still be effective if we have a strong reason to believe that A would have wanted that registration to participate in that Korban Pesach. But when we have both B and C registering A on different Korban Pesachs, that adds to complexity. So here we go. We're going to have various examples of these questions that we just listed. So Ha'isha, first we're going to talk about a husband and wife. Typically, if the husband is at home and the wife is at home, they're going to spend Pesach together. There is an assumption that the husband can register his own wife on the Korban Pesach. Ha'isha bizman shehig bebeis ba'ala. So they're married. The wife is living with the husband, and they're staying home for Pesach. Shachat aleha bala, if the husband, even without being specifically appointed by the wife to register her on the Korban Pesach, v'shachat aleha havia, and in that situation, not only did the husband do a shechita, shachat aleha bala, the husband did a shechita for her, having her in mind that he's going to participate, she's going to participate in his Korban Pesach. However, v'shachat aleha havia, and her father also was including her on a separate Korban Pesach, shetochal mishel bala, the assumption is she will be participating with her husband's Korban Pesach. She's staying at home with the husband. That would be the default, even though she didn't explicitly appoint the husband to register her on his Korban Pesach. However, the exception to the rule here is halcha regel rishon la'asos b'beis havia. There was a minhag at the time of Chazal that when the couple got married, the first of the regalim, they would go to her parents' house. So the situation is that the first of the regalim after their marriage was Pesach. In such a situation, they are going to the in-laws, his in-laws. Halcha regel rishon la'asos b'beis havia. They're going to spend Pesach in her parents' house, and in that situation that they're not staying home, that we defaulted to the husband, shachat aleha haviha, so her father registers her on his Korban Pesach, v'shachat aleha bala, and the husband was having a separate Korban Pesach, and he assumed that the wife would participate with him. So is she registered on the husband's or the father's or neither? So the Mishnah says, tochal b'makom shehirotza, literally means she can eat wherever she wants, but it's not so clear from the language, but the explanation of that is she has to make a decision on which Korban Pesach she wants to participate before the Shechita. She makes that decision. She can go either with the father's or the husband's. However, in the absence of her making that decision, she does not default to either one of them. And if she doesn't default either to the husband or her father, she cannot eat of either of their Korban Pesachs because neither of their registrations for her are valid. She didn't consent to either, and because she's in the father's house, we really don't know if she should go with the father or the husband. Continuing, next example is if we have a yasam, a young orphan, and there has been somebody who was appointed as a guardian of the orphan, either by the father or the beis din, the court, to manage the affairs of the orphan. And here we have yasam sheshachtu alav apotropsin. Here too, we have a yasam, but there's not only one guardian, but two guardians. So again, we have two people attempting to register the same third party, which is going to be valid. So in such a situation, we say yochal b'makom shurosa. In this situation, he doesn't even have to choose by the shechita. The yasam, the orphan, is permitted to eat at either of theirs, even without giving his explicit consent, because either of these guardians is going to have a valid registration of that yasam. So in this limited situation, he has the choice that he can go with either one, even if he's deciding after the shechita of the Korban Pesach. Case number three is we have a Canaanite slave, Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani is chayiv in Korban Pesach, just like a woman is chayiv in Korban Pesach. And we have a situation that we have two people who jointly own this Eved Kanani. They're all, both partners. One owns half, the other owns half, and they both attempt to register this Eved Kanani. So the Mishnah says, Eved Shel Shnei Shutavim. We have an Eved Kanani owned by two partners. In this situation, they both register that Eved Kanani on separate Korban Pesach, as we've seen. Lo Yochal Mishal Shneihem. The Eved Kanani is not permitted to eat from either one of them because he didn't give his explicit consent to either. But the issue here is that you cannot have a partial registration. So each one would have registered their half of the ownership that they have in that Eved Kanani. You need to have a full registration, not a partial registration. So here, in fact, it wouldn't be the consent of the Eved. It would be that we have to have the two partners. One would have to consent to the other because they're the owners. So A, the partial owner would have to consent to B to let B fully register the Eved Kanani on B's Korban Pesach. Mishnah, the fourth example here is when we have an Eved Kanani, but it was originally owned by two partners. This would be a scenario, but right now it's only owned by one who owns a partial interest in that Eved Kanani. So for example, two people owned an Eved Kanani. One set his part free. So we have somebody who's Misha Chetzio Eved VeChetzio Ben Chorin. We have somebody who is partially, half, literally half an Eved and half a free person. In this situation, again, Lo Yochal Mishal Rabo, he is not permitted to eat a Korban Pesach that his master registered him on, because you can't have a partial registration, only a full registration. He didn't give the consent to the master to register him, and accordingly, the master was only able to register his ownership interest in that Eved, which is only partial, and a partial registration is not valid. You need a full registration. Mishnah Beis deals with a situation where A indeed appoints B to go and buy an animal for a Korban Pesach, go and register me on that animal, and also go and do the shechita on it, but A did not say what type of animal to go purchase and use as the Korban Pesach. And the complexity comes out of the fact that a Korban Pesach can be brought from one of two types of animals. It can be brought from a gedi. A gedi is a goat, a young goat, also referred to as a kid. Or it can be brought from as a taleh. It can be brought as a sheep, a young sheep, which is also called a lamb. So our Mishnah says as follows, Omer La'avda, we have A, the master, appointing B, his servant, say, Ushchot Alayas HaPesach, go and shecht the Korban Pesach for me. In other words, go purchase an animal, but he doesn't say what type of animal. He doesn't say if it should be a gedi or a taleh. Go buy an animal, register me on the animal, shecht the Korban Pesach. So the Mishnah says, shachat gedi yochal, shachat taleh yochal. Whichever he chooses, whichever B chooses, is going to be effective, because A, the master, left B the flexibility to make the choice as to whether to choose a goat or a sheep. And either way, the master is going to be effectively and validly registered on that animal, even though he didn't explicitly say what type of animal it should be, and he can fulfill the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach. However, if the Eved, that's B, goes and shachat gedi vetale, if he says, I'm going to give my master the flexibility, so he went and shechted both of the options, both a kid and a lamb, in that situation, and we're going to go to the Gemara in a little bit and then get back to the Mishnah, the Gemara explains that that is not effective, and the master, accordingly, was never properly registered on a Korban Pesach, because B chose two Korban Pesach, two animals, and you can't be registered on two animals, so the master A would not fulfill the mitzvah. However, the situation is otherwise, says the Gemara, when we're talking about A is the appointer, is the king and the queen. The king and the queen, and they're appointing B, their servant, to choose for them a Korban Pesach. Go in and bring us a Korban Pesach. And they don't say explicitly whether they want a gedi or a taleh. In that situation, the king and the queen, because they eat meat all of the time, they have lamb chops and they have duck, and they have, that's not real meat, but they have steak, and they have all these great types of meat all the time. They're leaving the servant bee the option to choose which they want. And accordingly, when it comes to the king and the queen, yochal, min harishon, whichever one is brought first, that is the one that's going to be the valid Korban Pesach, and the second one, which was brought after, that's going to be invalid, because you can only be appointed on one. You can only be registered on one Korban Pesach, and that would be the first one, because that was the one that was validly brought. However, says the Gemara in explaining our Mishnah, when it comes to regular people, if they appoint B to bring them a Korban Pesach and B brings both, they cannot be registered. And the reason is because they actually may care which one they are registered. They may care whether the B is bringing for them a Gdi or a Taleh, and accordingly, neither of them are going to be valid because they would have wanted to be registered possibly on one or the other. Continuing now in the Mishnah, we're going to give a situation that the master did clarify whether he wants either a gedi or a taleh, whether he wants either a kid or a lamb, but the servant forgot. So in that situation, what does B as a servant do when he forgot the instructions that he was given? So the Mishnah says as follows, Shachach ma'amar lo rabo. B forgot what A told him, instructed him, whether he should bring it from a gedi or taleh. Ketzad yaseh, what should he do? Yishchat taleh ugedi. In this situation, he should indeed bring both options, v'yomar, but he should make an explicit condition as follows. Im gedi amar li rebi. If A told me that I should bring for him a gedi, gedi shalom. Now that I'm bringing both of the options, the gedi will be for him, per his instructions, v'taleh shali, and the taleh, the second one, will be for me, and that will be, I will fulfill my mitzvah of Korban Pesach with the second one. V'im taleh amar li, if A, my master, told me to bring for him a taleh, if my Rebbe said, if A told me that I should bring him for a taleh, the taleh will be for him, ugedi shali, and the gedi will simply be for my Korban Pesach. Now, when he goes back to A and says, I brought both, which one did you instruct me to bring? A will tell him, and that's the animal that A will use as his Korban Pesach, and the second one will be used by B for his Korban Pesach. However, what happens when B goes back and A, who instructed him specifically to bring either a gedi or taleh, A also forgot, so now not only B forgot, but A forgot as well. Shachach rabo ma'ar marlo. If A forgot also what A had told B, Shnehem yetzu lebeis ha-sreifa, both of these Korban Pesachs will go and be burned where disqualified Korbanos are brought, because neither of them are going to be able to be eaten. Both of them are valid Korbanos, but we simply don't know whose Korban goes to whom. We don't know if A is getting the Gedi, or if B is getting the Gedi, or the Taleh. So in that situation, upturi melasos Pesach Sheni, because the Korban Pesachs are valid, but they simply cannot be eaten because we don't know who was registered on each one. The A and B have fulfilled the requirement of Korban Pesach, but they cannot eat the Korban Pesach, so that's why they have to be burnt. And accordingly, because they did fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, they don't have to bring a Korban Pesach Sheni. That is, for a Korban Pesach Sheni, 30 days later, is brought by somebody who did not fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Mishnah Gimel continues to teach us a number of fascinating halachas as it relates to registering a group onto a specific Korban Pesach. Ha'omer Levan, of somebody who says to his children, as follows, Hareini shochet et haPesach al mishiala mikem rishon Yerushalayim. I have registered you on my Korban Pesach, but in fact, I'm just going to be doing the shechita on whoever comes first. The reason the father is saying this is because he wants his children to come up quickly with alacrity to do the mitzvah. So in fact, he's really not intending to deregister them from his Korban Pesach if they come second or third. Kevan shechichnis harishon rosh of ruba, because the first of his children put his head and the majority of his body into the city of Yerushalayim, into the walls of Yerushalayim. In other words, the first one arrived. Accordingly, Zaka Bechelko, he has merited to acquire his portion. And what he can do as well is, because the father was really always intending on including all of his children, that first one in, Umezakes Echav Imo, he also can acquire the portions of his brethren, of his siblings, on their behalf. In other words, what's going on here is the father is giving the first one the ability to be the leader of the group and even to choose his portion first and allocate the other portions to his siblings who came thereafter, but they will all be included on the Korban Pesach. The Mishnah now continues to discuss what's the maximum number of people we can register on a specific Korban Pesach. So the Mishnah says as follows, La'olam nimnin alav, people are allowed to register on the Korban Pesach, to partner up on it, until they reach the point that there is only a kazayis available for each person registered on the Korban Pesach. In other words, to fulfill the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach, somebody has to eat a kazayis, so it has to be that there is sufficient meat to go around that each person can receive at a minimum a kazayis from a Korban Pesach. Otherwise, there's no maximum number of people. You can have a lot of people as long as each is going to get a kazayis from that Korban Pesach. The last Mishnah, the last part of the Mishnah deals with until when this registration process coming in and out on a Korban Pesach, being part of a Korban Pesach or a different part of Korban Pesach, when does that end? So the Mishnah says as follows, Nimnin u'moshchin, people are allowed to register on a Korban Pesach or they can withdraw, that's moshech, withdraw from their registration on a Korban Pesach, as yedehem, mimenu, their hands on it, but being a partner in a Korban Pesach, ad sheyishachet, until the shechita. The shechita is the time that we freeze the group and say anyone who is partnered on this Korban Pesach, when the shechita happens, those are the ones that are included. Everyone else is excluded from participating in this Korban Pesach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ad sheyizrok alav es hadam. Rabbi Shimon disagrees on one point. He says that, I agree that when it comes to appointing, registering on the Korban Pesach, people can actively register up until the Shechita, but when it comes to withdrawing, people can continue to withdraw from a given Korban Pesach up until the actual Sreika of the blood of that Korban Pesach. Mishnah Dalit is the last of the four Mishnayos in our Perek that deal with registration onto a Korban Pesach, and it teaches us that typically when people register together and they bring a Korban Pesach together, they will also eat together, and they cannot exclude from their group anyone from eating together. That's the default. If they agree to separate, they indeed can, as we've seen in the past, and eat in separate areas, but the default is they will all eat together. Our situation in our Mishnah is as follows. Hamimana imo acherim bechalka. We had somebody who was registered on a Korban Pesach, and without the consent of the other partners he had on the Korban Pesach, he brought other partners in, and he was not authorized to do that. So it is effective. It's effectively he's syndicating out his portion of the Korban Pesach. So an example would be if we have 10 people registered on a Korban Pesach and each has a number of kazesim from that Korban Pesach, and somebody wants to bring in others and says, I'll sell you part of my portion in the Korban Pesach. Here, you can have a kazais. You can have whatever amount it is. So he brings in others onto the Korban Pesach. Rashayin b'nei chabura liten lo et shelo. What the other members, the other nine who did not consent to the new people joining their chabura, what they can do is they can simply to say to this 10th person who brought in other members, take your portion of the Korban Pesach. If each person is getting, for example, 5 kazayas, here are your 5 kazaysim, take it, v'hu ochel mishelo, v'hen ochli mishelen, and he, number 10, can go and eat of his portion with the other people that he wanted to add to the Korban Pesach, v'hen ochli mishelen, and they eat their portion. In other words, number 10 cannot force the other members to join people and eat with them as well. Certainly he can join people to his portion of the Korban Pesach, but the other 9 can simply say, we will eat together, but we will eat without you and the additional people who you have brought in to our group. Starting with Mishnah Hay through the end of the Perek, we discuss various people who can or cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. Just a little bit introduction to Mishnah Hay. So when somebody is Tameh, as we know, you cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. But how about if somebody is Tameh on Erev Pesach, but come Lel HaSeder, meaning the 15th, the beginning of the 15th of Nisan, the person will be Tahor. In that instance, we for the most part can bring the person's Korban Pesach on the 14th, even though he could not eat it on the 14th, but his Korban Pesach can be shechted, and then he can eat it at night because the Tumah has ended at that point. So that's what we're going to talk about in our Mishnah. We're going to talk about a Zav, and first we'll give a little bit more introduction. A Zav is somebody, we'll talk about the male first, and then the Reisha. In the Sefer, we'll talk about a female. So in the Reisha, we talk about a man who has seen involuntary emissions from his body. And there's a difference between whether he saw two or three. So if he saw two, in other words, he saw two on the same day or two on consecutive days, he is Tameh, and he's Tameh for 7 days. And then he goes and he's tovel in a natural spring on the seventh day, and he becomes tahor that night. So if that seventh day that he tovels, he is still unable to eat the Korban Pesach, but that night, after the seventh day, that night, which is Leil HaSeder, then he would be able to eat the Korban Pesach. A distinction is, if he, this Zav, instead of seeing two emissions, he saw three emissions. In other words, he saw three on the same day, or three on consecutive days. In that situation, 7 days and just simply toveling is not sufficient. On the eighth day, he also has to bring a Korban. And once he brings that Korban, that's when he can start eating from sacrifices again. So our Mishnah is going to talk about if when he saw, Zav saw two emissions, then if his seventh day is Erev Pesach, or if he saw three emissions, then his eighth day when he brings the Korban falls out on Erev Pesach. So the Mishnah says as follows, Zav, Shera'ash De'ri'iyos, if it's the type of Zav that saw two emissions, in that situation, Shochtin Alav Bishvi. If the seventh day that he is going to go for his, he maintains that Tumah, the seventh day falls on Erev Pesach. In other words, we can bring his Korban Pesach because at night, that's Leil HaSeder, he'll be able to eat it. However, Ra'ah Shalosh, if he saw three emissions, we can only bring his Korban Pesach if Shochtin Alav Beshmini Shila. We can only bring his Korban Pesach if the eighth day is on Erev Pesach, so he's bringing his Korban on that day, and then he'll be able to eat of the Korban Pesach that night. When it comes to a woman seeing emissions, we're not talking about her seeing her damnita. We're talking about when she sees unusual emissions, an abnormal emission, after the 7 days that we consider her to be a nida, on a deraisa level at least. So if she sees an additional flow from the 8th day to the 18th day in the span of 11 days after her 7 days of nida, then it goes as follows. We have three tiers for her. If she simply sees one day during that 8 to 18 days, she sees one day, she has a flow. In that situation, she's called a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. She just has to wait one day. If on the second day she tovel and she does not see a flow that day, then she can eat that night the Korban Pesach or other Korbanos. If she then, during that second day, sees again, then again she has to add to the third day waiting. She's still a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, has to wait that third day. She would immerse herself, and if she does not see another flow that day, then at night she can have the Korban Pesach. And the third level is if she saw on that third day as well, so she's had three consecutive days of flow, in that situation she becomes a Zava, so she is impure for 7 days. She has to not see a flow for the 7 days. And she, in fact, remains impure that she can't eat a korban, can't eat of the Korban Pesach until she brings her own korban. That's for her zava offering. So she can only bring that on the eighth day. And the eighth day at night is when she could eat the Korban Pesach. So the Mishnah says, Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. If she is the situation that she's a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, in other words, she's seen only once, she has to wait till the next day. And the next day we expect she's going to be clean. Shochtim Aleha Basheni Shela. On that second day, she's going to go and tovel on the second day. We can bring her Korban Pesach and she can eat at night. However, Ra'asa Shnei Yamim, if she saw 2 days, she saw also on the second day, Shochtim Aleha Bashlishi. If the third day happens to fall on Erev Pesach, in that situation, we can also bring her Korban Pesach because she is expected to not see that day. And that night, which is Leil HaSeder, she'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach. However, Vahazava, if she saw 3 days in a row, we can only shochtin aleha bishmini, we can only be makriv for Korban Pesach if her eighth day, in other words, the day she's bringing korbanos, falls on Erev Pesach, then we can bring her Korban Pesach because then she will be able to eat at night after her eighth day that she brings the Korban ends. That's Leil HaSeder, then she'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach. Mishnah Vav lists out various people that may not be able to eat from the Korban Pesach. Ha'onein is somebody who a close relative passed away on that very day. So there's a din d'oraisa to be an onein. Chazal continued the aninus into the night. So in other words, if somebody passed away, a close relative of somebody, erev Pesach, so on a d'oraisa level, the person is an onein, cannot eat from any offerings. But Chazal said also that night you cannot. Nonetheless, a dispensation was made for the korban Pesach, so that even an onein the night after the death or the kfura, the person is permitted to eat, even though typically on a rabbanan level the person is not permitted to eat. And next, amefacheach asagal. This is talking about somebody who is a rescuer. There was an earthquake, something happened, and somebody is under a pile of rubble. Somebody is trapped underneath there, and a rescuer is trying to dig the person out. But we don't know if the person is alive or not. If the person turns out to not be alive, then the rescuer very well may be tamei and unable to eat the korban pesach. The person is a suffolk at this point, because we don't know if the person underneath is alive or not. Number three, somebody is in jail, but they have promised to release him, but it's not 100% sure that it will happen. So somebody who is infirm, not well, somebody who is very elderly, they are able to right now eat a kazayis, but we have a suffix. Maybe they, in the end of the day, will not be able to eat the kazayis. So in all of those cases, shochtim aleim, it's permitted to bring a korban pesach for each of them, even though we have the suffix. Now, when it comes to the onein, the suffix that we have is maybe the onein in his grief will touch the person who passed away, the close relative. So we have a suffix there in each of these cases, whether the person will be able to eat or will not be able to eat. So accordingly, the Mishnah puts a condition on our ability to bring a korban pesach for each of them. Akulan, ein shochatin aleihem bifnei atzman. When we bring the korban pesach, we cannot bring it alone for any of them. In other words, if it's just an onein, we can't bring his own korban pesach without other people adding on. Shema yaviu es pesach lidei psul, because if they are the only person registered on that korban pesach, and then it turns out that our concern that they won't be able to eat, it does come to fruition, then that will invalidate the korban pesach. We don't want that to happen. So the simple solution is they should partner with somebody else, at least one other person. So if the fear comes to fruition, in other words, the onein actually touched the deceased relative and he won't be able to eat, or the person who was trying to rescue the person under the rubble, it turned out that he was tamei because the person had passed away underneath, or the prisoner in fact was not released from jail, or the elderly or the sick person was unable to eat the kazayas because they weren't feeling up to it. In all those cases, if they were the only person on the korban pesach, that korban pesach would be invalid and would have to be burned. So accordingly, lefichach im eira behen psul, if they did partner with somebody else and something happened to any of these people, in other words, our concern, our fear came to fruition, then they were not able to eat the korban pesach, because at the time that the korban pesach was shechted and the zrikas hadam was brought on the mizbeach, we did not know the person would not be able to eat the korban pesach, so it was not disqualified for them. Turi melasos pesach sheni, they would not have to bring a pesach sheni in any of those cases, because it was a valid korban pesach, because they had somebody else who was counted and partnered with them on that korban pesach. Chutz min hamefakech bagal, the exception to the rule here is that somebody who was the rescuer in that situation, shu tamei b'tchilah, so that person was tamei from the get-go, from the beginning. Accordingly, he was never eligible to have a korban pesach offered for him, and there he would have to bring the korban pesach sheni. But any of the others, it was a valid korban pesach, and it was only a suffek, and it was brought properly, and there was a zrika, and only afterward they found out that the suffek actually came to fruition. But the person who was tamei, he was always tamei. He was never valid to bring this korban pesach. Accordingly, he would have to bring the pesach sheni. Mishnah Zayin discusses additional halachas as it regards to partnering together on the korban pesach. Ein shochatin es haPesach al hayachid. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has a pasuk that teaches that you cannot have only one person enumerated on a korban pesach, partnered with himself on the korban pesach. For Rabbi Yosi Mati, Rabbi Yosi is of the view that it's permitted. He has his own pasuk to learn that. And Rabbi Yosi continues that the bottom line is it doesn't matter how many people you have on the korban pesach. The bottom line is that you need at least one person who can eat. Even if you have 100 people and none of them can eat a kazayas because they're not well, they're elderly, they're tamei, whatever it may be, even if you had that group, so many people, it doesn't matter. Ein shochatin aleichen, you cannot bring the Korban Pesach for them. All that matters is you have a person who indeed can eat of the Korban Pesach. Now we have another halach in this regard, who it's proper or improper to partner with. Veinosin chaburas nashim va'avadim uktanim. What this means is you can't have a group together with just women and Canaanite slaves, or just minors, katanim and Canaanite slaves, because immoral activity may happen because of the slaves that are partnered alone. As we know, the Korban Pesach is eaten as a chabura to group together. It would be inappropriate to have women, just women, and slaves eating together, or just minors and slaves eating together, because improper immoral activities may occur then. Mishnah Ches refers back to Mishnah Vav when we talked about the Onein, somebody who had a close relative pass away on Erev Pesach, and we said that on a Doraisa level, an Onein cannot eat of the Korban Pesach, cannot eat other Korbanos, but at night it would be on a Doraisa level permitted. Nonetheless, Chazal instituted that an Onein, somebody who had a din of an Onein on a Doraisa level during the day, will have a din of an Onein, a Dirabanan, into the night as well. However, that applies to all Korbanos except the Korban Pesach, because the Korban Pesach, somebody who doesn't eat, that's very severe, violates an Isser Doraisa, and also receives kares as the punishment. So somebody who was an ones on an onen on a Doraisa in the day would be able to eat the Korban Pesach at night. So we're going back to that onen tovel, the ochel es pischol erev. If we have an one during the day on a Doraisa level, nonetheless, he's tovel and can eat the Korban Pesach at night. Why do we require him to be tovel at all? Because he's only an onen, he wasn't tame. So in fact, because the person is in a state of aninus and is very distracted by the loss, it's very easy for him to lose focus from maintaining his tahara, because he knows the Korban Pesach is coming, and it would be very easy for him to have touched tumah. So accordingly, we want to be extra safe, and it says the onen has to do tefillah on that day, and he indeed can eat the Korban Pesach at night. Chazal said, we're not going to apply the Isser Derabanan of continuing the aninos and not eating korbanos into the night. Aval lo bekodshim, that applies to Korban Pesach that he can eat, but other kodshim, other korbanos, the onen on a Derabanan level, even at night, would not be permitted to eat. Now we're going to talk about, there are certain times that somebody is not in onen d'oraisa during the day, but is in onen d'rabanan on a rabbinic level. For example, a shomeha al meiso, somebody who heard that he had a close relative passed away, but it happened the day before, not that day. And if it happened the same day, the person is in onen d'oraisa. But if he heard, for example, on Erev Pesach, that a close relative that he's going to sit shivan passed away the day before, within the past 30 days, then he is in onen d'rabanan during the day, and at night he's not going to have any aninus. V'hamilaket lo atzamos. At the time of Chazal, what they would do typically is they used to bury somebody who passed away, and then after a while they would exhume the bones and rebury the bones elsewhere. So if that's hamilaket lo atzamos, if somebody has a close relative that the bones are being exhumed, they were exhumed on Erev Pesach. Difficult timing, but nonetheless, that's when they did it. So the person is an onen on a derabanan level. So accordingly, the aninus does not continue into the night, even derabanan, because to start with, this aninus is only derabanan. So the Mishnah says, tovel v'ochel b'kodashim, the person can do tefillah, he's required to do tefillah, and he's permitted not only to eat the Korban Pesach that night, but any day of the year, if this happens, he's allowed to eat any kodshim, because there's no Isser Durabanan of aninus continuing into the night, when the aninus to start with during the day was only Durabanan. Now we're going to talk about a related issue. How about if somebody converts on Erev Pesach? So typically a conversion nowadays, if it's a man, requires a bris milah and tefillah b'mikvah, going into mikvah. For a woman, there's only tefillah b'mikvah, in addition to the other korban, the other requirements of acceptance of the mitzvahs, and before that, learning about the mitzvahs and having a beis din. But we'll focus simply on the circumcision for the man and the tefillah b'mikvah that happens on Erev Pesach. Gershin is gayer b'Erev Pesach. The conversion is going through. The man had his meal, and now he's going to the tefillah. Day of Erev Pesach, Beis Shammai Omrim, Tovel V'Ochel Es Pischo La'Erev. Beis Shammai is of the view that in fact that would be effective. He is permitted to do the Tvila on that day, Erev Pesach, That's when the conversion is going to be effective, and he can eat the Korban Pesach at night. That is not a problem. Beis Hillel has a concern. Beis Hillel omrim ha-poresh min ha-orla ke-poresh min ha-kever. Anyone who is separating from his orla, in other words, anyone who is going through a conversion, is similar to someone who has tuma from a kever. What Beis Hillel is saying is, we agree fundamentally with Beis Shammai that it could happen exactly as they said, that the conversion happens, a person goes to the mikvah and eats at night. But what happens if this non-Jew doesn't typically receive, no non-Jew receives tuma, but they're concerned, what if he goes into the Beis HaKfaras, he has tuma on that day, Erev Pesach, and he just goes to the mikvah and eats the Korban Pesach at night, which is accurate because he doesn't come tamei. But what happens the next year when similar things happen, and he's a Jew then, and a Jew, when he touches tuma, he's going to have to wait the full 7 days. He has to be sprinkled with the mechatas, with the ash from the Parah Aduma mixed with water, with spring water. And he has to go through a 7-day tahara process, being sprinkled on the 3rd and 7th day. That's what's required of a Jew. So our problem is, if this person who's converting, we let him simply go to mikveh and eat the Korban Pesach at night, he's going to think the next year when he's a Jew, he simply has to do the same thing, and that's problematic. So Beis Hillel is fundamentally of the view that this non-Jew should not be let to go to mikvah on the day before Erev Pesach. It's going to cause us the confusion the next year. And in addition, they're saying as follows, that somebody who converts, indeed, in order to be mechanech them, to educate them, we have to have them go simply not through a 1-day mikvah process, but they would have to go through a 7-day tahara process as if they were tameim. They'd have to be sprinkled on with the mechatas on the 3rd and 7th days as if they were Jewish, so they wouldn't be confused when they are Jewish, and they would know the halacha that the tahara process is indeed 7 full days.